Dudes and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and Mites.
CEO and wrestling dude born in 1982, Tony Khan. Fuck you! Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the ultimate opportunist, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the personification of Dana Nation, Danielle Radford.
Ooh, that was a lot of Asians right in a row. Well done, sir.
Thank you. I got through that one. And the inner Sir Kelk.
Thank you. I like it. That's going to be the name of my my Zoom club that you can join for just $9.99 a month. The Inner Sir Kelk. We will drop the link in the show notes.
$9.99.
That's exactly what I can't see $9.99 or hear $9.99 without my brain going, $9.99. Danielle and I are in the same boat forever.
Didn't know I was going to miss it. Didn't know I was going to miss it.
Mm-hmm. You don't realize what you have till it's gone.
Yep.
They took paradise and put up a parking lot. It's the eve of SummerSlam as we record this, and we're all about to nestle into our beds with visions of some matches dancing in our heads. That didn't go where I thought it would. Before we even get to WWE news, Danielle, please, will you tell us all, which means maybe specifically me, about Paris's bumping?
See, Julian is asking me to remember something that happened over a week ago, and we know how that goes, so I've got notes. It's Billy Dixon runs, it's a combination of, like, gay ballroom culture and wrestling, which is, like, as we've had drag queens on, we've had people who are part of the culture who have said, like, it really is the same thing when it all boils down to it. Like, wrestling and drag are the same. People came out doing, if you've seen Pose or anything, you know ballroom dancing. There was a lot of ballroom on this show, which is, like, really, like, super fun and really great. It looks like they were taking care of everybody, even with the pandemic. There were different people, like, earned trophies, and Edith Surreal did a tribute to trans pro wrestling trailblazer Mariah Moreno. And so that was really nice. Got everybody kind of tear-jerked. But like I said, I don't want to spoil too much of it, what I can remember, because I do want people to go out and find it. Billy Dixon is one of the people doing really, really, really good work in this space. It's like wrestlers have finally realized that we're here and that they have, like, a queer fandom. And it's like, we've always been here. We've always been around. But now, like, there are more queer wrestlers or people who are coming out and who are out and proud. And so then that makes it, I think, a lot easier for a lot of the other wrestling world. But I like that this is, aside from being really excited when, like, your Jake Atlases do something cool, you know, when you get to see your Sunny Kisses, it's also really nice that we just have this space that's for us and that is dedicated to queer culture, where everyone is invited to come along and witness and participate, but it is undeniably just fucking queer as shit. And that made my little heart happy, because I think that that's something that we need more of. And I'm happy now that there is this generation of queerbos in wrestling who are making this happen and staking a claim. And it's not just enough to have, like, one or two on a show. Like, we need our own shows, we need our own space and things that are, like, specifically for us. So good job, Billy. Like, great work. And I can't wait for the next one, you know, Big Gay Brunch and all of these other things that just really celebrate queerness in wrestling. So, you know, it made me really happy, and everyone should go check these out.
Awesome. Well, Danielle, you supplied the something new. Now I think it's time for something that never gets old, delivered by someone who's wearing blue. It's the update on the AEW Women's Division, and we're going to roll from this right into talking about their new show, Rampage. Lindsay, it was a banner week.
Oh, it was, but only because there were two shows. So, You see what we've done. We've got a 100% increase on matches. But we've also got a 100% increase on televised wrestling shows. So, much like many statistics that we see reported in the news, these things need to be considered in context. Always look at your sources, people. There's some wrestling. I've got to say it because it's the law. There was one match, and now we'll move on. But, you know, the match between Britt and Red Velvet on Rampage. I can't even say it. Rampage. Did they just go through the...
Just reminds me of the video game.
Or I'm like, do they go through the name of Transformers? Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to end up... Are we getting AWE fucking Shockwave next? Like, is this... It is. Like, Tony's sat down now with his little notepad going, oh, that's a good one. It was good. I actually didn't think it was great. I wanted it to be great. I thought it was good. I think Red Velvet is someone who has a ton of potential and isn't maybe quite there yet. Fully. She feels like a tiny bit of an early Sasha Banks to me with a lot of her movements and the way she delivers herself. And she also feels very naturally heelish. And they're forcing her into this face role, which obviously she had to be. And then this was very, it was a difficult position because obviously Britt is a mega heel and like lives and breathes heeldom. But she was the hometown hero coming with her title, so everyone was on her side. And then you're asking Red Velvet to come out and be a face who is automatically put in a heel position. That's always a difficult one. Mm-hmm. But the whole the stirring thing and the butt moves, and I'm into the butt moves. She's hot as shit, so I'm like, show us you're hot as shit and own that. But it always, it's like when Sasha would do that very early on in her career, it feels very heelish. It's not something that like a face does, you know, to be like, look at my butt and swing it around, unless you're a cat. And then like, that's literally just how they move. but there was a disconnect. I think she's going to be great. I think she has the potential to be great. Let's see where she goes. And I thought it was fun. And I was very excited about the introduction of Jamie Hayter. I like Jamie Hayter. This could be a good move for them. Again, it's like, oh, they've collected some new toys. What you gonna do with them toys, Tony? Because then on Dynamite this week, we just saw two of his classic toys. His previously played with action figures of Thunder Rosa and Penelope Ford, which was not a great match. I love Thunder. Penelope does not seem to be getting better. I don't want to say Penelope seems to be getting worse, but she doesn't seem to be getting better. So another entirely forgettable women's match put together for seemingly no reason and inserted into the official women's match slot. But how exciting that we had two matches to talk about. How exciting.
Yeah. It was pretty long, too.
Well, it had a very long commercial in it, so, you know.
That, too, yeah.
I hope that Penelope Ford is able to get more reps in when they premiere AEW Grimlock next week. That's going to be really
exciting.
It's a
natural fit for
her. We're all waiting for it.
Yeah. Well, she Grimlock, she pretty. So, like, you know, it's, I'm a big fan of movie Grimlock. I know Transformers purists hate movie Grimlock because comic Grimlock was not dumb. Movie Grimlock is dumb as a post, but it's a very King Shark approach to Transformers, and I love it. Me Grimlock is the best.
Welcome to Transformers talk. I'm loving this.
Yeah,
I want more. I want more of Lindsay's hot takes on Transformers.
I have so many takes about that movie. It's one of my favorite films of all time. I have the original movie poster somewhere. It's the fucking greatest.
Lord. Oh, we also had Jericho losing in his fifth labor to MJF. In what is that, a farewell match? Probably not.
Probably not.
He screamed his way through Rampage. First of all, like I enjoyed Rampage. I did watch. I feel like I am the one who is the hardest on AEW of the three of us, and I thought it was a fine show. I like Kenny. I like all the people. I get what's cool about seeing him come out with 48 belts, only two of which I can recognize, and neither of them is the AEW world title. Like, I had to strain to figure out what all the things were around him. I was live texting when I watched it on a delay to everybody, so they had to suffer through me going, who? Which one is that? So wait, there's a TNA and an Impact belt. Of course, now Christian has retired the TNA belt, respectfully. I still wish I knew what I was watching. I really want. Let me in, Tony. Let me in. Let me in.
I did.
Don't bring more things. I mean, just, or educate me, please. I want to learn. I'm not going to go do my own research.
No.
This, don't give me homework.
I did think that watching Dynamite this week, it was because I was distracted by Rampage last week. So then Dynamite sort of fell by the wayside and I kind of caught up. I felt lost this week. I was like, wait, is this guy with this person? And who has, and does everyone have a belt? And what does that belt mean? And why is the ladies one so tiny? But yeah, the lack of coherent storytelling. This is a celebration of that Rampage was a nice tight hour. It was like the wrestling equivalent of a good tight five. They did a really good job. Well done. Let's see if we can take that over to your other show that is currently a giant sprawling soap opera disaster. I feel like I've just tuned into The Bold and the Beautiful after like not having watched it in 25 years and been like, wait, who is this guy? That guy's back? This person's still in it? It's very confusing.
I will say Jericho looked a lot better this week than he looked last week.
Sharper, like much sharper.
Much sharper, much more engaged. And again, I don't know if they were playing with the idea that he has been so tired from all of his labors that that was what it is. I don't know what was going on. But this week, he definitely felt like he was way more, like I said, just like engaged and way more with it in the match. So I didn't like hate it. It doesn't feel like a retirement. I guess like if it was, there would be more labors. You know, like Hercules had 12. If there was, there would have been more labors. But it's a fun storyline. It was a fun story. And it, you know what? Kudos to AEW because all of the work they did to get people to learn the lyrics to that fucking song worked. Part of me kind of wishes that instead of them tipping their hand, they would have just let it happen organically. I'm not going to lie. I also think it would have been really funny to listen to people be like, Judas in my mind. Like, it would have been really funny. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, all the work that they did to, like, put the lyrics up and make sure everyone knew it. I did see it's funny because, like, they would zoom in on people's faces while they were singing it, and those people did not know the words. So there would be a lot of like watermelon, Judas in my mind. It was really funny. But like they clearly got the crowd to do the thing. I did see some people reading the lyrics off their phone, but hey, I don't blame you for that. I'm the one who just stumbled through like 2 minutes of talking about something that happened to me a week ago because my memory is shot. So I also would have been doing that. So kudos for them that they made that thing work. Like that was great and good job.
Let's talk about NXT TakeOver 36, which is happening on Sunday. Doing the big switcheroo, SummerSlam now on Saturday. TakeOver 36 on Sunday. Lindsay, you shared some interesting thoughts on the current direction of NXT in between our recording session last week. We're going to ask now to go behind the curtain with Lindsay Kelk.
I am on
in a new segment that may or may not return. We're going behind the curtain. We're going to call this one Gorilla Position.
Ooh.
They don't do that podcast anymore, right?
Wait.
So I think we can.
Erase. We're going to call this section Gorilla Gab. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Gabbing with the gorilla. You should really have a gorilla out for this, Hal. This is poor.
They're all in the other room.
God damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah, I like to be as professional as possible all the time, so I like to give my most considered takes off
air. Hold
on.
Everybody pause.
He's going to get a gorilla.
He's going to get a gorilla.
Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you.
Gabbing with the gorilla with Lindsay and what's his name? Her name, their name.
This is Silver.
Silver with Lindsay and Silver. Oh, because he's a silverback. Love it.
Love
one of those
it.
Charged my aunt once at Fort Worth Zoo. It was terrifying.
Ooh.
Yeah. Even behind the
very
glass,
big.
Like I'm like, it's gonna kill you, and you brought this on yourself because they told you not to stare at it, and she didn't stop. But it was a good time for me, not her. So yeah, we were talking about NXT last week, and I have been thinking a lot about NXT, and I will say before I say what I'm about to say, I thought this week's episode was excellent, but I would think the past couple of months have been a little more wayward and less structured than I expect from my usual NXT. And my feelings on that is because there seems to have been less of an obvious leader. And I think NXT works best when it has very, very clear direction and a very strong leader. So your Adam Cole and your Undisputed Era and your Oscar or your Rhea and your Shayna, like when you have very, very strong champions leading the show, because when you've got a strong champion, the rest of the show just kind of falls into place, because when you have a very, very strong champion, all challenges make sense. Because if you have a super strong champion, there's challengers just want to take them down. Whereas right now, I kind of feel like they don't have a direction because they don't have any particularly strong champions. I mean, Kevin, bless him, Cross, is trying, but he's not being helped by his crossover work. I really don't think his crossover work has been solid. Scarlett just appears to have disappeared completely now, not just on Raw. Like, where's Scarlett? I mean, I assume she's at some sort of latex warehouse buying stuff.
Convention.
Yeah, she's at some sort of convention buying some new shoes. She has burned all of her hair off because she literally never has any roots and she must be getting it bleached weekly, and that's not good for you either. But I don't think Karrion Kross has been a strong champion. I don't think he's been believable. I think that Adam Cole promo when he cut him saying they have to do all this stuff around you to make you look strong because you're not, that nailed it in the way where you're like, oh, a good promo is so often the truth. But it really exposed, I think, what has been the problem with him is he just doesn't fit. So the rest of the show seems to have fallen apart around him. I was like, who is North American champion right now? I can't even remember. Is it Swerve? It's Swerve. They, you know, Hit Row's been doing good stuff and they're in this cool storyline with Legado, but I keep forgetting the belt is involved in that storyline. It almost feels like it doesn't need to be. It's just kind of faction versus faction. And when he put his hand in his mouth, that's disgusting. So don't put your hand in someone's mouth. It's disgusting. You know how I feel about that. Gross. We've talked about this with the mandible claw. It's nasty. And then the women's division kind of feels like I'm super pumped for Dakota. I really want Dakota to get it, but I feel like they haven't given Raquel should have been like a monster. And we just haven't really seen it that from her. We haven't seen her go through people. And they keep saying we have, but I don't feel as though I have. Maybe it's because the women's roster kind of got decimated again and we don't have that many people that we're familiar with to put up against her. But I'm excited for Dakota. And the men's tags, like, I love MSK. I think they are super cool. But I was trying to remember when was the last time we'd seen them in a big match before this week. And I kind of half thought they would lose because I'm like, it doesn't feel like they've put any stock in them. I don't see them coming out of TakeOver as champions. And I think they're great, but I don't think they've been given a backbone. Like, you know, not personally, but as in their storyline hasn't been given any significance yet. What do you think, Silver?
What? I think traditionally that something NXT has done extremely well, and part of it being they just have so much talent and it's been such a deep roster, is that when people get called up and when it transitions, that like a relay, the baton is handed off flawlessly. So someone else is ready to run and you can almost mark the time when that torch gets passed. And that doesn't feel like it's happened lately. It feels like there's good stuff happening, but it's, like you said, unstructured. And who is this brand being built around? And part of that is booking. Part of that is the poor choice of Karrion Kross. The cross promotion stuff is,
it's not working.
Hashtag fail.
Not working.
It's so bad. It's, how do you have someone who's supposed to be the baddest man on the planet in your promotion who's losing to Jeff Hardy, who's like going 50-50 with Jeff Hardy?
Yeah.
Or even loses to him once. That's what he draws. He draws a dude who's my age, who is just coming back from being injured again.
Yep.
And that's who they put him in. Like, what does that say?
And you put him in the penultimate spot of the show, which everyone knows is the squeeze spot.
The death spot,
yes, yeah. It's like, oh, well, if we lose this match, we lose it. And the pop for Jeff when he came out, it was like, oh, Karrion. I almost felt sorry for him. And as much as I'm sure as a man he would appreciate my empathy as a character, he would not. It was just, it's been such weird choices. But yeah, I agree with you completely. I feel like when you look back at NXT champions, especially in the men's division, but the women's division obviously has just been generally extremely strong. But the men's division, the champions are iconic. It's like Finn is champion, Joe is champion, KO is champion. Everyone's championship reign meant something. And I don't feel that anymore. And I think there's still time to pull that train back on track, but I think Karrion Kross is not your guy.
Who is?
I don't know. Like, you know, I would not have been mad if they had let Kyle O'Reilly have a moment with it. I'm always down for Johnny to pull the fucking ship back straight.
Yes.
Because Johnny can do it with his eyes closed against anyone.
Johnny's my pick.
I think they missed the boat with Kyle O'Reilly. I think that had its moment, and they lost it. But yeah, I would just, I'm like, if in doubt, Johnny Gargano. I just think that's a good life choice to make. If in doubt, Johnny Gargano.
It looks like it's going to be Samoa Joe.
I mean, I'm not mad about that either. You know, we're all okay with that. But even that feels like, it feels a little bit desperate, doesn't it? It's like, oh, we've had to go back into the stacks and see what we've got, that we know we can do this, that we know someone can pull this together.
Let's talk about SummerSlam. John Cena and Roman Reigns kicked off SmackDown with one of the longer promo segments. It was like a half an hour, I think.
And I would watch it time. Again. I would watch it right now. The rest of this episode could just be that promo, and I would be okay with it.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You've been protected, Roman. You've been protected by the Shield. Hell, you almost ruined Seth Rollins. You ran Dean Ambrose out of WWE. You've had...
Those guys are good at selling matches. Like, they're good at putting butts in, you know, Cena, obviously one of the best of all time at putting butts in seats. And it's always nice to be reminded of how good he is at that stuff.
Yeah.
Removed from the more polarizing era where we saw him all the time, it's nice to revisit and go, there's a reason why he was overexposed, if he was overexposed, which... I think we all agree there are a lot of times where we could have seen other people get a shot, but there's a reason why he lasted as long as he did, and it's because he's really, really good.
It's because a man who is, like, notorious for only having five moves was able to stand in a ring and say, all you do is spear, spear, Superman punch, spear, spear, Superman punch. Ooh! And I agreed with him. And then afterwards I was like, wait, that's what we used to say to him. And it's like, it doesn't matter because he's really good. But keep Nikki Bella's name out your mouth, Roman. Keep it out your mouth.
Yes. Yes, please.
Woof. Sorry. I love that promo so much.
We also have Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, round two. I mean, SummerSlam's looking like a banger.
Yeah, really is.
Yeah.
So far. I think I love the Edge-Seth Rollins story. I love it. I think Seth Rollins has done a really good job of carrying it in the extended periods of Edge's absence. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense. And it's a really good opponent for him. Like, it's just a really, really good match. If Edge is going to be around for a while, you don't need to book him like Brock, where he's always in it for the title. Like, that can be a longer journey for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of great matches for him to have on the way. And this is at the top of that list. Seth Rollins is love him or hate him character-wise, the guy is good in the ring. And his promo stuff's been fantastic.
He is such a great heel, and he knows that he's doing he knows he's doing great work. He's wearing the hell out of those suits. I love the suits. I think it's just such a, I have so many friends who just naturally dress like that. Everyone's dressing like fucking, what is it, John Flash's now. Like, everyone's, I really like that choice that they're making for him. I love his promos. I think that he's doing really good work. I've always thought, like, Seth is such a great natural heel. He takes to it like a fish in water. It is what he's really, really good at. And especially against Edge. And I know people are worried, like, oh, he's going to injure Edge. Like, stop. We're all worried about Edge and his little pigeon neck. Like,
did everyone see AEW this week? You know what? Like, when we can't watch wrestling and worry about people's necks. They put a 60-year-old man through a table on that show. So I can't be worried about everyone's neck at the same time. This week I worried about Sting's neck. Next week I'll worry about Edge's neck. Like, I can't do everyone at once. It's not realistic.
Mm-mm.
It is not. We have Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. I want to be more invested in this than I am in all of it.
Same.
I really want to be more invested in all of it. But there's only one, like, I think they're all great. There's only one I'm really interested in right now being champion, and that's Rhea. And then Charlotte going, like, I'm so mad I lost. I'm going to go fly to the moon. And that's going to take a while for me to prepare. And then I'm going to go explore and come back. So I will see you in 2 years. Because it just feels like she comes back and instantly... Well, I don't know what else you do with her, though.
Well,
like, what are you going to do? Have her in an undercard match?
She kind of can. Has she filmed her TV show yet? Has she done the TV thing that she's doing? Has that happened? She's doing the show with the thing that's name I can't remember. Julian, I'm looking at you. You are the keeper of knowledge.
Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, I wish. I mean, if she was in the Saved by the Bell reboot, I mean, I'm already all in on that. So, like, yeah. Throw Charlotte right? in. It's the thing that had the man in it before, and now it's got a Charlotte in it.
Walking Tall?
Walking Tall. She's doing the reboot of Walking Tall. Oh, they're
redoing Walking Tall with her. Okay.
So, yeah, has she filmed her reboot of Walking Tall yet? I don't know.
Probably.
So, if she has filmed it.
She's gone for a long time.
Then I don't know. I just really try and limit my time on wrestling Twitter these days, but the people's going crazy. I'm like, she's going to go to AEW. She's going to go to AEW. That would be the worst thing that's ever happened to WWE. I'm like, I don't know if it would be, because I don't even know what we do with Charlotte. Like you just said, Hal, I don't know what we do with her anymore if she's not champion. I don't think she has as much loyalty to the Fed as people might think. That she had loyalty to the Fed. You know, I think it's
she's
a job.
She's not Cena.
No, it's a job to Charlotte.
And good for her.
Right? Exactly. This is not an insult. This is the thing. I think people are trying to make it more drama than it is. I would not be shocked at all if she left and went to AEW. Imagine being Charlotte strolling into Tony Khan's office, be like, open your checkbook, Tone. Let's talk numbers. Let's talk the number of days I'm actually prepared to work. Let's talk me not having to travel, and let's talk me hanging out with Andrade and me old man every week. I don't see a logical reason for her to not do that, honestly.
I just imagine Charlotte going in and going, I want to work a minimum number of dates. And he's like, for a women's deal, we have a maximum number of dates. And it's 20 per year.
Yeah. It's like,
and nobody has that contract. I haven't even broken that out yet.
At best, you will be permitted on TV once a month. And you're just going to have to live with that, madam. And you'd be like, oh, no, that's the worst. How could you do this to me whilst literally booking a flight to Mexico?
Also, I want to pitch something to you, Charlotte. We're going to start putting all of our women's matches on OnlyFans because it's not porn anymore. And we can put it there and we'll keep all that money. But you'll be on there. But that'll count towards the 20 dates. So we're going to need you to do 10 there. And then 10 days a year, you'll appear on television.
It checks
out. And then when you go back to WWE, people will be so start. Will be like, who is this woman? We haven't seen her on television or anywhere in years.
She has been missing in action. I honestly, I wouldn't find it shocking at all.
She's hit the ceiling a million times. Mm-hmm. Like, the only thing left for her, like, how many wins does she have at this point? Like, the only thing left for her
she's
to
on
do
11
is be,
or
like,
12 now. 11 or 12.
Yeah. The only thing next is, like, oh, well, now I've gotten more title wins than my daddy. Like, that's the next kind of, but I don't think we care.
Yeah, you know what Vince is definitely not in a fucking rush to do right now is protect Ric Flair's legacy. This is, like, I'm actually way more invested in the Roman Reigns Cena match than I was, because that's always been why Cena will never win another title, right? Because he's on a tie with Flair. But you remember when AJ left and they let Nikki hold that Divas belt for 18,000 years just to take the record away from AJ? Because he's a petty, petty fucking man. Who would be shocked to see Cena win and then immediately lose it again the following week just to take the record off Ric Flair? I would not be surprised, and also would probably giggle like a schoolgirl, because I, too, am a petty little bitch. And I like to see records get set, and I think it would be interesting. Plus, I don't think it would hurt Roman. I think if Cena won on Sunday and then Roman beat him on SmackDown next week, I don't think that hurts Roman at all. Even if Roman cheats to get it back. Roman can be like, oh, you won, but not really. And now it's mine again.
Yeah, and on socials, they've been talking about the record and stuff, too. Like, that's
he mentioned
how
it, like,
WWE,
five,
like,
times in his promo. And I was like, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? It's like, we do, yeah. Thanks, yeah.
You do.
What if he wins and they have him pull a CM Punk and leave?
Magic.
What if he leaves with the belt? Because he's got work to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, because he could just be like, I came here to take it off Roman. I've done that. Now I'm going to vacate. But I think I'd rather see Roman sneakily cheat to win it back.
Yeah.
Well, let's vacate this opening segment right now. If you have any thoughts on all of the news we've discussed, and I know you do, find us in the links in the show notes and talk to us about them. When we come back, it's time to talk about one more match. That's next on Tights and Fights.
Does our podcast deep dive into the weirdest Wikipedia pages we can find?
Yes. Do we learn about scam artists, remote islands, horrible mascots, beautiful diseases, and mythical monsters?
Yes, 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 absolutely, and yes. Do we retain any of this knowledge?
Probably not. I'm Emily Heller.
I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
We make art and comedy and TV shows and also the podcast Baby Geniuses. For the past 8 years, we've been trying to learn new things about the world and each other every episode.
But let's be honest, this podcast is mostly about two friends hanging out, shooting the breeze, and making each other laugh. We're horny, we like gardening and horses, and we get real stupid on here.
But like, in a smart way.
Yeah.
Join us every other week on Maximum Fun. Baby Geniuses, tell us something
we don't know. Tights and Fights is brought to you in part by Feels CBD.
CBD isn't about what you feel. It's about what you don't feel. Stress, anxiety, pain. Everyone knows I got back pain. Don't get hit by a bus. I don't recommend it. I have back pain and I deal with insomnia. And so I've been using CBD for years to help me with both of those things. I don't know how it's going to work for you, but I know what it does for me. And it helps me sleep. It helps my back feel better, especially like sometimes I like to apply it locally. Like sometimes that works for me as well. Because like, look, everyone knows pain meds can be fun. But if you have persistent chronic stuff, maybe you don't want to be chugging down meds all day. Maybe you want to be using something that's like a little more natural and something that isn't going to be habit forming. And that is where CBD comes in.
Feels is dedicated to providing a better way to feel better, which again, like Danielle, I enjoy some pain. Mine is mostly ladies' pain, which the ladies at home are saying, we know what ladies' pain is. It's period pains. If you're listening, fellas, live with it. Cramps are the worst. CBD really helps me. Feels in particular, I've been using it now for like 2-3 months. I'm on my second bottle of this stuff. I absolutely love it. And it really helps with my anxiety too. It helps me just like turn down my brain at night because sometimes my brain goes really, really, really fast and I would like it to go slower. I find that CBD helps me with that. Feels also offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so you find your perfect dose, which actually is really helpful because I think when you start out with CBD, you really don't know. A lot of people sell CBD and they don't tell you what to do with it. So I love that this is offered. The Feels customer service team is dedicated to making sure you get the best use out of your CBD, which is great because you don't want to spend money on something and then not know how to use it.
Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/tights and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/tights to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/tights.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we're going to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock! Oh! Holy shit!
Don't worry, I'll put the new one next year.
I know you will. I knew it was coming. I just love it. I just where's my hole?
My hole!
WWE Dynamite. I'm going to recreate it right now. Where am I, pal? Christian Cage.
Ducks.
Christian Cage just won the Impact World Championship last Friday, along with the now retired TNA belt. He got them both and put one away for good. In honor of his latest run with the company's top title, we thought we would take a look at the only time he won a world championship in WWE. That's right. It's the One More Match storyline from 2011. Now, I had the honor of hosting a Q&A with Christian a couple of years ago. And we actually talked a little bit about this. And one of the things whenever I talk to a wrestler in front of an audience, the one thing I like to ask them is, what is the thing that you wish fans either understood about wrestling or just something that they don't know that you wish that they knew? And his was patience. That this storyline, the reaction to it was immediate, but it was part of a larger story that they were trying to tell. And it's a very well-told story and a good lesson in sort of having patience around things to see how they develop.
Now, Christian.
I deserve one more chance to become the world heavyweight champion. I deserve it the moment the ref made the bad call. I was the one that was screwed out of the world heavyweight championship, and I deserve it right now.
So all of this started right before the Summer of Punk and his story of leaving that year. So Danielle, did you watch this happen as you tuned in for the pipe bomb fallout?
I don't remember it, but I watched it. This was when I was kind of like, I tuned in for Pipe Bomb. Pipe Bomb brought me back. I was not fully in on Christian at that point. I do remember really liking this. Like, I liked this a lot because I've always really liked Christian and Edge. Like, they were my boys growing up. Like, I really enjoyed them. I liked when they went from, I mean, I liked them as emo broody goth boys because I'm mm-hmm. a woman of a certain age. And then I liked them a lot when they were doing their comedy stuff because they take to it so easily. So I've always really, really, really liked Christian and always like hoped that he, like, I always want nothing but the best for him. And I get really psyched about how much he loves wrestling and he won't let anyone but him retire him. And he still looks great in the ring. So like, it's mm-hmm. hard to argue with that logic, you know?
100%. Yeah. There's something easily likable about him that, which makes it even more fun when he's a heel, because even though we're booing him, it feels like you're going to see your friend play a villain and you're booing him because that's the thing you do to help. You know, it's not like a go-home heat. It's not like an X-Pac heat. It's a Christian's playing the heel. We got to boo this. It's so good. Look how good he is at being bad.
Yeah. He's like a pantomime villain. It's like it feels good to boo him.
Yeah.
And you know that he loves it and it makes you happy. It's like, oh, he's really loving this. He wants me to boo him and he's doing such good. Look at him. Look at that boy doing all that good work. Look at that boy. That's my boy up there.
Lindsay, were you watching SmackDown during this period of time?
I was. This is like... It's interesting to me looking at Christian from a bigger picture because this was my introduction to Christian. Like, this is how I met him, so to speak. I did not meet him. and I really enjoyed the storyline. I also was an innocent, naive baby back then. I didn't know that Randy Orton was trash. And if you don't know Randy Orton's trash, he's super fun to watch. So I was super in on this because I really loved Christian and I really loved Randy Orton. Those halcyon days where we didn't know better about so many things. So this was a really, really fun storyline for me, and I was a huge fan. I was a peep. I considered myself a peep. Christian was for the peeps, so that worked for me. I really, really enjoyed it, and then I really followed him after that. Like, I have followed all of his works. I love the podcast. It's interesting when we talk about him being such a good heel but such a nice guy, because every time you hear an interview with him and every episode of his podcast with Edge, which I really miss, Edge and Christian podcast, because it was great. I would have to skip through the hockey stuff, but that's available to you. But they would always have guests on who would routinely remind you every single week that Christian's kind of a dick, but like a lovable dick. But yeah, I really loved that storyline. It engaged me straight away as someone who knew nothing about him, hadn't seen any of the Brood stuff, hadn't seen any of the comedy stuff. I just thought he was a really good wrestler with a really believable character. And he held up his end of it in the ring. So what's not to love?
The whole storyline is such a great look at how to turn. It's almost like they're performing judo. They're using your sentiment for Christian against you. So the way it starts, of course, is Edge is forced to retire after WrestleMania because of his neck. That leaves the World Heavyweight Championship open. Alberto Del Rio is one challenger for it. They hold a battle royale to determine the other. Christian wins, and we get this storyline of him never holding the title because he didn't think he was worthy of it, but now it's his destiny, which was something Alberto Del Rio was saying a lot at that time. It was his destiny to be a champion. So we get a ladder match where Edge drives in a Jeep Wrangler to distract the heels.
Edge! Edge is still here! Edge is retired! Oh my!
Here we go!
Why is Edge here? Get out of here! You should be collecting your annual paycheck somewhere!
And Christian finally wins his first ever world title, the very same title that his childhood friend had to vacate. And the very next Friday, he loses to Randy Orton. And that is, you know, in talking to him, that was his thing of people reacting, saying, oh, they booked this really poorly. Because a lot of times as fans, we react to the last thing we saw. And we don't know where everything's going. And it makes it hard to, it's not easy, especially when they want you to react in the moment, to not go, all right, well, there must be a story here that they're trying to tell. Like, that's not really what you want a fan to do. But also, you should keep tuning in to see where it goes.
And also, I mean, let's be really, really real. They haven't always earned that confidence from us. True. To be able to say, I'm just going to wait and see where it goes.
100%.
I mean, we've also just lost that ability, I think, as a society. It's really hard. Like, we used to be like, I mean, how many times on this show have we said long-term booking? But it just doesn't really exist anymore. Can you remember when there used to be storylines that ran from Mania to SummerSlam? Like, what? It's too hard to do now because everything is immediate. Everything is available to us all the time. This is why people don't read books anymore, says the author of books. It's because it's like, I have to read this whole thing to find out the story. It's like, yeah, you do. And there's like loads of pages. I mean, I'm the worst for it. How many movies have I thought, oh, maybe I'll check that out. And then instead I just read the plot on Wikipedia because I'm trash. I get it. Like, it's really hard to ask people to hold on and watch a story play out. But when it's done really well, they will do it. And I thought this was done really well.
Yeah. He keeps losing, keeps asking for one more match. There's always a screwy finish. His leg is under the rope, but they don't catch it. And so eventually he sets a match where if Randy Orton gets disqualified or if there's any questionable officiating, then he wins. And how does he win that match? He spits in Randy Orton's face, gets him to kick him in the crotch, and then wins the title. Such a great heel move. But you see him, like, it goes from, he does deserve one more match, to shut the fuck up about one more match. Even Edge going, like, it's too much. It's annoying.
Till the day I die, you will be my best friend. That's never going to change. But you need to hear this from me, because you're not going to listen to it from anybody else. I didn't know my best friend would become a whining, crying, moaning little bitch.
When he wins the title at Money in the Bank 2011, which is almost a footnote at this point because Punk winning the title and exiting the building is the thing pretty much everybody remembers from that show. He holds the title for a full month and then loses it once and for all to Randy in a no-holds-barred match at SummerSlam. So Randy pretty much the face in this. But also,
God,
like,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's so weird to think about how that worked out. And Christian, it feels like Christian had a very short time in the main event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still a good run. Like, he's
and still iconic. I think when you can have a run that was as short as it was and it still resonates all this time afterwards, and you say one more match to any wrestling fan and they know what that means, like, you did something right. Like, you did something extremely right to be able to... It's like doing a yes chant. It's like, we know what this is. We know what it is without any sort of explanation. We know who it stands for. We have an emotional, guttural reaction to it. It's visceral at this point. One more match means Christian.
I deserve one more match. One more match. One more match. One more match. One more match.
And that means you're really fucking good at what you do. Mm-hmm. And in fairness, props to Randy for like holding up his end of it, which was very confusing. Because like you say, was he the face? Was he the heel? He just kind of had to stand there and be like, what are you doing? And credit where credit's due, which I hate to give to trash bags. But you can see his respect for Christian is all over that program. Which is when you know Randy's doing good work, is when he respects the other person.
Yep. Randy really shows up when he has respect. And I did. I really thought that, like, after that run, that Christian was going to be done with wrestling forever. Like, I really thought that that was what this was leading up to. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so important for him to, like, get this title, get his opportunity, and then he was going to go off with Edge and sail off into the sunset. But, he, you know, here we are, 10 years later, the dude's still going.
He's now the Impact Champion.
Yeah.
I don't know how to
I
ask
did think
this.
He was going to die in that match, you guys. Like, I'm like, he is sweating. Christian is sweating. And
great
Kenny
match.
Is not even beaten. And I'm very concerned. Very concerned. But it ended up great.
I know the question that's written here, but I don't know quite how to ask it. Because he's an AEW talent, and he has a title for the wrong show, which would communicate to me it is the lesser title that Kenny can lose, because it doesn't matter. And yet, on another show, we're meant to believe it is the most important title on the planet Earth. And Christian, because he is good at what he does, will make it seem as important as humanly possible. But I don't know where to go from here. Am I supposed to, if I really like him, I'm going to have to tune into Impact to watch him? Or is he never going to be on that show except for the one pay-per-view where he drops it to somebody who I don't know who is in that?
My biggest concern with this is that along with the Impact title, this is why Impact have done a shit deal. I'm like, hey, Impact, let's sit you down and explain why what you've done here has been a terrible deal on your end. He won the Impact title, right? And he's going to go on Impact and defend it. But as well as the belt, he won a shot at the AEW championship. So you're saying that owning or being the Impact champion is only equivalent to getting a chance to win the AEW title? I'm like, oh, that kicks me right in the knackers if I'm Impact. It's like your promotion is only equivalent to getting a match to be our champion. I'm like, oh, that's not polite. That's really rude.
And like, look,
and
it's
you've got to
true,
assume he's not
but
gonna
you don't
win.
Say it.
Right?
It's
you don't
true,
say it out loud.
But like,
you don't
they're
say it
saying
loud.
The quiet part loud.
Right, exactly. They said the loud part quiet and the quiet part loud, and it's all gone wrong. And you've got to assume he's not going to win the AEW championship of Kenny, which now makes that match moot. At All Out, if that match even happens, because like who knows what's gonna happen at Rampage. You do, because by the time this airs you've seen it. But it's messy. This is another example. Welcome to the Lindsay can't cope with AEW hour. It's another example of their confusing booking. By bringing in other promotions, it makes their own waters muddy. Because why would I care about their championship match on their pay-per-view now if I don't think it matters, because I just saw them wrestle for a different belt, which again by definition does not matter. By your own definitions, AEW doesn't count. But I love Christian and I want the best for him, and if he is happy with this and his cats are happy with this, then I am happy with this. He's got so many cats, y'all.
We got some comments from the Nation when we asked you about the storyline in Christian. Josh on Facebook said, Christian first won the world title when I was in kind of a bad place, working a crappy job, living with the parents and all, but my buddies waited to watch it with me till I got off work at midnight, and I think I watched that clip and his debut in NWA TNA every so often. Dude is the ultimate little guy who broke through, even though he's still like 6'1 and 230, which is massive by regular human standards.
Henry, he does feel like the little guy. That's weird. He really does feel like he ought to be a Daniel Bryan-sized human, and he's actually huge.
Yeah.
But he's so big on AEW. He looks so big.
That's where the small boys play.
That's because everyone on AEW is very little.
Yeah. Henry on Facebook says, I absolutely loved it. So much so that I totally got worked when Orton beat him so quickly after he won it on SmackDown. I was legitimately mad. Little did I know it was leading to a great program. Case in point. But also, like, that's good. That's the exact reaction you're supposed to have, is get upset and keep watching to see what happens next, because you want to see the person you think is the bad guy get his comeuppance or the good guy be triumphant. That's why we watch this stuff. If you want to talk more about one more match or Christian, do it, independent of us, or go to our social media accounts via the links in our show notes. The choice is yours. When we come back, we've got three things from the world of wrestling that you should know about. That's up next on Tyson Fights.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we host After Game Show, a podcast where listeners submit games and we play them regardless of quality with a dozen listeners from around the world.
We've had folks call in from as far as Sweden, South Africa, and the Philippines.
Here's an example. This is a game we called Zooey Deschanel, where you turn a celebrity's name into an animal pun. You have an example, Manolo?
Brad Gorilla Pitt.
Oh, that's a pun on Gorilla Pitt?
Yep.
I don't know.
That's Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
That's a high-quality game that you could expect.
Dr. Game Show has new episodes every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun.
Check us out, please.
Tights and Fights is brought to you in part by Soylent.
So Soylent is the original food tech company making delicious, nutritious nutrition products in convenient formats. I really like the shakes because I wake up in the morning and I don't like to eat in the morning. I just don't get super hungry. Plus, I am lazy as crap. I really don't want to like go through getting up and then you've got to like make food and then you've got to like do dishes and all of that sounds like a super drag to me. And so what I'll do is I'll wait until noon when I'm really hungry and really cranky and really crabby and then I eat way too much and then it like slows me down for the rest of the day. So now I can just grab me a Soylent and then I have some good nutrition to start my day off and it makes it a lot easier. And that way like I can go through and just have my Soylent, sip it throughout the morning, and then by the time I'm like ready to have lunch, I can have something sensible and I'm not super cranky and I'm not so cranky that, and so tired that I forget to do my dishes and my place is a mess. So thanks Soylent, you make my mornings a lot easier.
Unlike Danielle, I like to eat all the time, constantly. I need to be putting food in my mouth, which is why I have been enjoying the Soylent Squares recently, which I just discovered and dug into and now can't stop eating them. It's like a little tiny brownie. It's not that tiny. It's like 100 calories, which feels like I'm not going to stuff myself to the point where I will explode. But it's extremely filling. And again, it's like a complete nutrition bar. So it's not, I hate saying food is good or bad. No food is good or bad, people. But this is an extremely nutritious option if you are looking for a little snack or a little treat. So I am big into the squares and I'm really excited that I found them.
Go to Soylent.com/tights and use code tights to get 20% off your first order. That's Soylent.com/tights and the code tights for 20% off your first order.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week we want to end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
Of course I'm putting over NXT, and of course I'm putting over Indy Hartwell. Got down upon one knee. It was lovely. It was wonderful. Index is officially engaged. I loved that segment. I love Indy coming into the ring with him and doing his thing, getting down on knuckles and knees, I guess is what you would call it. I love a wrestling proposal and a wrestle wedding. It's never great. It usually turns out really corny and bad, but I love it. I love it. I love it. I really, really hope we get to the actual wedding in this because it makes me so happy. I've always said that if I ever get married, I'm probably going to be the one who proposes. Like, I already know this about myself. I'm just aware of who I am and I'm a very impatient woman and I'm not going to wait around. Like, look, if we're ready, we're ready. And like, why are we fucking around? I love that Indy is taking that. And also, just because the way the story has gone with so much of her turning him down and turning her back to him and, you know, being influenced by what other people have said, it had to be her who did the proposing. And like that's the way that it had to be. I love how dramatic he was putting the ring on. I love that ring. I think it's a class ring. I don't know. I just love everything about the storyline and makes my little stupid heart happy. And I loved watching Indy get down on one knee.
Lindsay.
Yeah, not proud of myself. I was 100% going to put over the same thing. But yeah, Indy taking back her agency was like a big deal. Like, we just had to watch her be like the prize in a lover or loser match. And it's like, Indy Hartwell, feminist icon, taking back her own agency and proposing to her man. Loved her putting on the glove. Loved when she walked behind him and their footsteps were perfectly in sync. But also, more importantly, maybe I will specifically put over Robert Stone. match, which when I saw who that, because I'm like, who are they gonna wrestle? And when I saw it was Robert Stone, you better believe I jumped out of my seat with the ponytail and the tracksuit. And I just, the whole segment gave me so much joy. And like 5 minutes earlier, I would be merrily telling Jeff how I was definitely putting over the Ilya Dragunov match because I thought that was genuinely fantastic and got me so excited for his match against Walter at TakeOver. Like really, really excited. It was that perfect balance of color work. Like, you know, yeah, agreed. Agreed, Silver. But it's like, you know, he did that magical moment of getting cut open in the best possible way to create such a dramatic moment that you, again, you could not make it up. But I just thought it was such a strong match. And I thought him and Roddy did really good work and it got me pumped for that match. And then they went and dropped a fucking proposal on me and a mixed tag match. That the whole match was great. Beth's involvement was great. The teasing in the vignette beforehand where they said like, oh, you know, it's time to take the relationship to the next level. It was all there and it was all fantastic. And it was just like a good solid 15 minutes of joy. If I can get 15 minutes of joy out of my wrestling in a week, I am pretty happy. So I will take it.
As of you're listening to this, it is likely, but not 100% locked in that CM Punk will be debuting. And in AEW, he will officially be All Elite. And recently, Roman Reigns had an interview with BT Sports where typically, as is typical in any televised wrestling interview, they're trying to work an angle and put over something or bury something. So they asked Roman Reigns an interesting question. I liked his answer. I thought it was funny. It set off debate, which is sort of what it was intended to do, even people like Mick Foley weighing in about where he sees CM Punk's place in the wrestling industry historically. Here it is.
When it comes down to it, CM Punk was not as good or as over as a John Cena. Wasn't as good or as over and moved the needle like The Rock. It was just what was what it was. From a full-time performer, I understand the frustration and wanting more. But like I said before, you got to take it.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I'm not putting this over because I necessarily agree one way or the other, but I love the conversation about it. And I just like Roman Reigns and I like watching him be interviewed. I like him in character or out of character. I think it's
watching him stir the pot. Yep. Stir the pot.
Stir that pot, Roman. You've earned it. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. You know you can catch Tights and Fights as part of the London Podcast Festival on Sunday, September 12th. But maybe you didn't know, the day before, Saturday, September 11th, 12:30 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday, We Got This. We'll be live at the London Podcast Festival with special guest Paget Brewster. So join us for that. That's a double dose of Hal Lublin London. I'm coming for you, so queue up. Take the lorry, take the lift, the bin, crisps. I know all of the terms, and I'm coming.
Take a lorry, but okay. I guess if you own a lorry, you would take a lorry.
Get the lorry and take a lorry to the loo, and then
queue up. We're just saying words now.
And queue up. Queue up to the loo and to the
I'm
lift.
Delighted.
To the by Jove. That's all I have to say. Lublin out. Danielle.
Oh gosh. Just the same. Keep watching the Monas trailers. If you're into D&D, watch me play that on College Humor's Dropout. Misfits and Magic is all wrapped up, so you can watch that, and you can watch our adventuring parties where we talk about the episodes after the episodes. And I think it's sold out now, but if you can still find some copies of Agretzko Meet Her World 3, I wrote it. Go buy it or read it or, you know, find it online. I think you can still, you can still get it online. You just can't, like, buy it in, like,
you
a store.
You could totally get it on Comixology and places where you can read these things online. So do that, people. Jesus.
And while they're reading, Lindsay, anything else they should be reading?
While they're reading, despite the fact I earlier in this episode said people don't read books because they're so long, please read my books.
They're not that long.
Many of our listeners do. They're not that long. Many of our listeners write to me and tell me they've read my books, and it makes me so happy. And if an adult book, in the sense of it's for grown-ups, not adult, is too much for you, I do have children's books, so you could read Cinders and Sparks, Magic at Midnight, which is much quicker, and it's got drawings in it, and you can't say fairer than that. So feel free to check out Cinders and Sparks, Magic at Midnight. I believe the second book, Fairies in the Forest, is out very soon.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Our producer Julian Burrell bought 3 CM Punk shirts 8 years ago, like a good little mark. Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember, hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Let the nation of conversation grow. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible, and we'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.